Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We start out Saturday strong. This show usually airs on Mondays, but due to technical difficulties and stuff, we had to move it to today. We'll be back this regularly scheduled Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. But right now, we're raring to go on the East Coast at 8:30. 5:30 early rise on the West Coast. It's the Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast. Live from Pearl River, New York, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it out here in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports podcast platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes. Tyler, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? Looks like you're going to do a nice little recap on the Guardians of the Galaxy, my friend, as I man the boards.
Thank you, Mark. And welcome. We got another episode of Talk Geek with Tyler Brook. And as always, I'm your host, Tyler. This is normally a part where I introduce my guests, so I'll introduce them now. Hello, my name is Tyler Brook. All joking aside, yes, this is just going to be a me solo episode. I'll be discussing the Guardians of the Galaxy as their latest film was released not that long ago. But before I do that, why don't we break down by who the Guardians of the Galaxy are. We all know who they are. We got your Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot, respectively. But actually, they're not the original Guardians of the Galaxy. The original Guardians of the Galaxy composed of four individuals: Charlie 27, Martin XX, Major Victory, and Yondu, the latter of which we actually do see as part of the Guardians of the Galaxy film franchise, as kind of like the adoptive father of Star-Lord. And while in the movies we do see Star-Lord as half-living planet, he's not actually half-living planet. It's true that he's only half-human, or as they say in the Marvel franchise, half-Terran. He's actually half-Spartax, which is another race entirely. But while we're speaking about the actual Guardians themselves, why don't we discuss their debuts as opposed to the debuts of the actual comics themselves. Star-Lord, for example, and yes, believe it or not, there's actually more than one way to spell Star-Lord because of copywriting issues. The proper way to spell the Marvel Star-Lord is with dash. Like, if you ever spell Spider-Man, dash, instead of the whole singular word, like, say, Batman or Superman. So Star-Lord didn't actually appear in the Guardians of the Galaxy, but rather in a Marvel preview issue number 4 in January of 76. As mentioned, he is a half-Spartax, and he is basically, think of like a Marvel version of, what you call it? Kind of like a Han Solo Boba Fett kind of a thing, like a bounty hunter. First comment from Peoria, Arizona. Nick from Peoria, Arizona. Excuse me, it's a little early. I like Baby Groot. He is funny. Batista has come a long way. Pratt is the best. All very good points, Nick. But yes, all these comments aside, Star-Lord is actually much different than the MCU has portrayed him as to be. But you'll find this out more times than not with any adaptation, whether it be from comics, any original storyline, or even anime on occasion, that what's written on the book is not always going to be adapted for the screen adaptation. Gamora was actually not introduced until the year 75 in the Strange Tales issue. Groot, believe it or not, was actually first mentioned in Tales of the Astonish, issue number 13, near 1960, 5 years prior to, sorry, 9 years prior to the very first Guardians of the Galaxy film. But then he doesn't make another appearance until about 10 years later or so, where he's actually one of the many villains, Hulk fights, including but not limited to the Abomination, the Wendigo, and, of course, Wolverine. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. When they started the Star Wars galaxy, etc., I was not really into it, but it has grown on me. Joey, I agree with you. The whole sci-fi genre as it is, and really to kind of call it space to space, I would say Star Wars is really more science fantasy, whereas Star Galaxy is more sci-fi, as is Star Trek. But that's just splitting hairs. As we talk about our next character, Drax, who, believe it or not, didn't actually appear in, appeared in the Invincible Iron Man series, and is not an alien at all. In fact, he is actually something altogether, and by my calculations, he is a, just off the top of my head, he actually did have an alias, this being Arthur Douglas, the original comics, but it's not mentioned. His original story is that his family was attacked by Thanos, which, yeah, okay, one of the whole things that Marvel actually was able to do right, but he just needs to, but, you know, it was one of those vengeance-seeking stories, so he needed a way to beat Thanos because he was losing his, to avenge his family, but the spirit of Konos took Arthur's spirit, and thus Drax the Destroyer was reborn. Now, whether they make him to be so literal and so socially inept in the comics, I'm not entirely sure, but I will say that it goes back to what I was saying, how all these are different from what they're originally for. Albert from Poway, California. Early rise listening to this. Big Galaxy fan here. Good to hear. And now we got our two other characters, Rocket Raccoon. Oh, sorry, one character. Cannot do math today. Gamora made his debut in 76, July 76, and the last character to make an appearance overall, Marvel's preview number 7. Who don't want to get too spoiler territory, is more accurate. So now let's look at the three major villains the Guardians of the Galaxy have come across. There have been multiple, but let's just focus on the ones the Guardians have to tackle directly. First being Ronan the Accuser, who kind of serves as a good gateway villain for the Guardian, for this incarnation of Guardians of the Galaxy. He actually made his debut in the Fantastic Four, issue number 65, August 1967. He is a Kree soldier, just looking to what he believes, I should say, is the good of the Kree Empire, but not the actual good of the Kree Empire. Kind of like a false perspective kind of a thing, if you're going to be more accurate, like saying, I'm doing this because I believe this is the right thing to do, than other it just being the right thing to do. So he actually never was an original Guardians of the Galaxy villain, but instead a Fantastic Four one, along with the entirety of the Kree Empire, including the, the Super Skrull, which, I'm confusing my race to say, people. I am so sorry this is early for me to do an episode. But yes, in this incarnation, he was played by Lee Pace, who you may recognize as one of the elves in the Hobbit movies. If you haven't checked it out, again, it doesn't really hold the adaptation. It did well, but you're kind of spreading one book across three movies. With that said, let's talk about our next villain, Ego the Living Planet, an actor people are more familiar with, this, of course, being Kurt Russell. Starters, it kind of falls in the whole trope of how my parent, whether it be a dad, mom, or whatever non-binary term we use for parents nowadays, I'm not really well-versed in that. If you know it, say it in the comments. If you don't, I guess I'll have some research to do. But until then, Ego the Living Planet, much like Ronan the Accuser didn't actually make his appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy, but rather in Thor, issue 132, which in turn made its issue in 1966. This kind of proving that what's on the material isn't always adapted as such. Goes back to what we're saying about Star-Lord, how apparently My Daddy's a Planet would have been a funny anime title, actually works for the MCU. But instead, Star-Lord isn't actually isn't Ego's son, but instead, he is a member of the Spartax Empire, a different race entirely. Ego, as mentioned, is a living planet who has come across many groups and organizations, like the Fantastic Four, Avengers, and has even had to deal with the Silver Surfer at one point, and his, I guess I want to say heraldsmanship, the person who heralds him, he is the herald for Galactus Destroyer Planets. Eventually those two will meet at some point, and it's fun to think about. And now the last major villain, spoiler by the way, regarding the Galaxy, the High Evolutionary. Out of all these guys, he's a little more cut and dry. He just wants to evolve organisms, whether they be sentient or non-sentient life forms, into the perfect life forms. So many of the ways are less than ideal, more inhumane, but he essentially is trying to perfect, or at least what he believes, perfect the perfect organism. And in this incarnation, this is how we get Rocket Raccoon's backstory. How we see he's kind of the cyborg-esque character. And for those of you that don't know, a cyborg is an organism that's part organic material and part mechanized organism. Another example of this would be Cyborg from DC Comics, or even Darth Vader from the Star Wars franchise, just off the top of my head, that everybody would be more familiar with. And much like Ego the Living Planet, he made his debut in two different issues, actually. I know that sounds confusing, but hear me out. He made his first debut in Thor, issue number 133, in the year 1966, where he was really more of a mention, like a name drop, than an actual full-on thing. It was not until the month after where he was mentioned in, or actually full, you had a full-on appearance in issue 134 of November 1966, where you see the High Evolutionary and all of his evolutionary goals. Other than his MCU appearance, I would say his most prominent appearance in media is in the original X-Men the Animated Series, where we see the debut of the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and their introductions to, spoiler alert, their father, Magneto. But because of copyrightings and you can use the term Union Disney products, et cetera, we really, those two are the closest things we're going to see to mutants until the X-Men series that will be happening shortly enough, which I don't know about y'all. I personally am very much looking forward to seeing some more X-Men characters. I would have enjoyed them. They've always been very pleasurable to watch, even though I am more of a DC fan, so take that with a grain of salt. Sorry, just drinking a cup of coffee, trying to lube the throat, trying to wake my morning up. Don't know what time y'all are listening to this, but it is about 8:44 over here, and just doing the episode with you, because like Mark said, we've had scheduling issues. But there we go. We've had the original Guardians. We've had the MCU Guardians, in which they've made their debut, and a little fun fact for them. And we've had the three major villains. And if you actually look closely, there is a recurring character in all three films, that being Howard the Duck, who actually happened because of the George Lucas film of the same name. But in this incarnation, he's played by Seth Green, who you may recognize in the several voices of Robot Chicken, Leonardo from the 2012 Turtle series, and Kris Griffin from Family Guy. So, yes, that's kind of like a little fun Easter egg for y'all. Other than that, the only, that's a little bit of history. Three main villains, Ronan the Accuser, Ego the Living Planet, and the High Evolutionary. And it's crazy to think All right, so now that's our little drum roll, so let's talk about the movie itself. First off, it was interesting that they took a more realistic side to Rocket. Like, for the guy that talks a lot, he really didn't have a lot of speaking parts because a good portion of this, he was in a coma due to the debut of Adam, which we kind of see a little trailer of in the previous Guardians of the Galaxy film, which, side note, if you're ever in a Marvel movie, don't leave when the credits are rolling, because there's going to be something you're going to see for the next movie, unless you're just seeing it and you really don't care about the credits, in which case, go. But personally, I would recommend. So that said, some post-credit scenes have definitely been better than others. But this, it was nice that we get to see more human side of Rocket Raccoon, no pun intended, as we see what made him him, and so on and so forth. And it's just nice why Rocket Raccoon is who he is, how he became the lovable, annoyable pain in the ass that we know so well and dear, and how he's had ties. Previous characters we've had. It's nice seeing more human side, how they're trying to find this high evolutionary guy, but I do have some issues with this. For starters, we look at the flashbacks, and while it's true that he did have a walrus and a rabbit companion, not exactly fond of the names they gave him. For those of you that didn't know, in the movie, the walrus called himself Teefs because of obvious reasons, and the rabbit named himself Floor because he was lying on a floor. But both of these were actually named on two previous Marvel characters, that being Walrus, but there's a dash between the Wall and Russ part, and Blackjack O'Hare, both of which are associates. As name-wise, Lydia, the otter, was the only one they got right. Funny to think about, but it's nice seeing that the whole Guardians of the Galaxy team is more well-rounded, and Gamora is now leading the Ravagers, because essentially the whole time snap thing messed them up, which, spoiler alert for those that haven't seen Endgame, but to be fair, that was like pre-COVID, like one of the last films to air before COVID really struck. So, sorry guys, but it's been at least 2 years. My rule of thumb, if it's been at least a solid month and y'all haven't seen it, then I think you should be entitled to something rather spoilers. And that's just being courteous. But with that said, essentially this incarnation of the High Evolutionary was kind of playing a little Island of Dr. Moreau thing. Like, if Dr. Moreau technology many of the villains in the sci-fi franchises have, this is what you'd be looking at. This is how they portrayed him. Visually, it was very appealing. Did give us some references to obscure characters like Cosmo, the space dog, who was actually true to his name, in the movie, by the way, was the dog Soviet Russia sent into space, and because, like Fantastic Four cosmic powers, gets the ability to talk telepathically as well as move stuff with her mind telekinetically. But overall, it was a very interesting film that we see a nice way to wrap up the Guardians of the Galaxy, or at least this round. I do have some issues with it, by the way. For starters, I felt like it was a lot longer than it needed to be. Like, I don't think the whole 2 hours and 23 minutes, I think that honestly could have been trimmed. What made Guardians of the Galaxy great initially, in my opinion, was the 70s music. I mean, I get it. Peter's finally getting access to all these other songs and whatnot. Good for him, but the problem with that is it just felt like it was all over the place as far as soundtrack goes. And I couldn't even keep track of what songs they were using. Like, the only song I recognized was Creep from Radiohead. But that's about it. So that's my issue. I felt like they spent a good portion of the time doing back and forth with the whole backstory thing. Like, I think the backstory would have been best. It was just covered all at once. And then Rocket Raccoon would have been in a coma for a good portion of it. I think that's how it should have been handled, but I guess I clearly don't have the talent skills of James Gunn, so that's just my honest opinion. I do like the fact that Star-Lord will be returning. I can't really say for the fact whether Drax is going to be returning. I don't think he will be. Gamora might. As for Rocket and For Rocket and Groot, they will be returning. And if you didn't see, they have their own Guardians of the Galaxy. We have one of the kids that they recruited from the High Evolutionaries Control, Cosmo the Space Dog, Sean Gunn's character in the movie, whose name totally eludes me, and the last character they recruited. No, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. Oh, wait. We also have Adam that they recruited. The only one that they actually didn't recruit for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is kind of surprising, was Howard the Duck. Though I guess they only have a guideline. It's like, sorry, we can only have one anthropomorphic animal at a time, not including the quadrupedic dog, who actually has made an appearance in the first film. She was one of the collections that the collector had in his myriad of items. You'll see on top of that, you'll see a couple of the Infinity Stones. You will also see the previous cleaning lady. And this is where Howard the Duck actually makes his first appearance in the MCU, though it was a post-credit scene, specifically where the dog walks up to the collector in his pile of mixed-mesh collectibles because they were destroyed. Dog's licking the face. And then the guy goes, why are you letting that thing lick you like that? Gross. And then we actually see it, and then turns out it's Howard the Duck. So overall, I would say, so would I recommend seeing this? Like many sci-fi films, it is good in theaters, but honestly, this kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier, or rather I say in previous episodes, about how Marvel they kind of wrote themselves into a corner with Endgame. I mean, when you wipe out half the universe, the only other way I can do this is like if they pull a Dragon Ball Super, or if they grab Marvel of every universe, fight each other to the death, and then that remaining Marvel universe stands. But then again, maybe Spider-Man No Way Home is going to cover that. Now, is Spider-Man No Way Home part of the MCU? No, it's not going to be. But honestly, it does look very intriguing. And now, there's a good chance I'm going to see that this summer. But on my budget, if I was going to pick a movie, I think I may want to go for Rise of Beasts. Because I always grew up with Beast Wars as a kid, remember? Seeing that, watching that every time, still holds a special place in my heart. Actually going to catch a couple of them, of the people that were a part of it, this summer for a couple of the cons I'm going to. But back on topic, Guardians of the Galaxy, if I had to put a number to it, I would say a solid 7. It wasn't as good as the original Guardians of the Galaxy, but it wasn't as bad as the current one. But here's something I will say about Guardians of the Galaxy on how they left off. Peter decides to go visit his grandfather after all this time because he had emotional issues with how things left off between them. Rocket and Groot continue the Guardians of the Galaxy, only Rocket's the leader as such. Drax and Nebula, are rebuilding Nowhere, which is the floating head, for not only the kids to live on, but all the previous citizens, as well as all the animals that they rescued from the High Evolutionary. Gamora is going to be now leading the Turncoat, the Ravagers, the group of space pirates Peter essentially grew up with. And now, and we have Mantis who, quote unquote, I'm going to do whatever I want, which sounds selfish at first, and it is, but considering the light that she had, whether it's just following Ego's orders or following the orders of Guardians of the Galaxy, she just wants to take time, space to her. You know what? Props to her on that. What's going to hold for them in the future? Honestly, who can say? But honestly, areas of improvement, what are the main clips that I would improve for Guardians of the Galaxy? I would have made it shorter. It was rocket-focused, but I felt like we just could have done the backstory all in one thing instead of kind of doing clips throughout. Just knock that out right there. I also believe the music was inconsistent. By the actual music, I mean the songs that were used for it. The original one, top-notch soundtrack, wouldn't change anything. But this one, it was all over the place. You got 70s music, you got 80s music, you got 90s music. It just couldn't keep a beat. Which, again, a lot of playlists don't. But if it's for a soundtrack for a movie, I would definitely stick to at least one year or one genre. That's just my 2 cents for you. Take it with a grain of salt. I would say, other than that, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy really had, like, major villains, which is why their villains that they had came from other comic book sources, specifically the Fantastic Four and Thor, respectively. You should try to say that 3 times fast. Fantastic Four, Thor, Fantastic Four, Thor, Fantastic Four, Thor. So that's just an opinion I have. But as far as the other Phase 5 Marvel movies, let's look at them. We have Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, and we have Ant-Man Quantumania. Honestly, it's not really off getting to a good start. It just feels like another Civil War thing going on with Black Panther. And honestly, I really don't think another Black Panther really should have happened without Chadwick Boseman, or at least recasting him. I mean, look, it is upsetting that he died, but quote-unquote, the show must go on. That's just my opinion. I hope you can understand why I would believe that. And as for Ant-Man Quantumania, they really ruined MODOK. I mean, you would think that a guy with a big head and tiny limb wouldn't be difficult to make look really weird. But the MCU has found ways to do it because CGI finds a way to make things worse. So that's just another topic of kettle of beans right there. But we are expecting for 5. Oh, that's a long ride we have to look on. But I'm going to tell you is that Marvel really needs to step up their game because, spoilers, I don't know if any of y'all have seen the latest Flash trailers. They're stepping up. Between Flash, Shazam, not Wonder Woman 84. I'm just going to rip that Band-Aid off right there. The second Shazam movie, the new trailer for Blue Beetle. Got to tell you, DC has finally stopped using Batman and Superman for their main bread and butter, and I finally respect you. I mean, it's several years overdue, but hey, props to them. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this very early special, unless you're in China or somewhere, in which case it'd be a little later. But that said, I do appreciate you all taking the time to listen. If you want to hit me up on social media, I am under Facebook and Instagram. I also have several other various accounts. I have Twitter, so I rarely use that. I use LinkedIn, again, rarely use that. And Indeed, but again, rarely use that. So honestly, your best courses of action would be Facebook and Instagram. You want to recommend an episode idea? Great to hear that. Just want to reach out to me? I appreciate that. But no matter what you do, remember, stay geeky.